So much fun when Epiphany falls on a Sunday. You get to see the wise men all dressed up and all that. We might as well enjoy it. It won't fall on a Sunday now for another 11 years, so enjoy it while we can. On Epiphany, we hear again the story of the Magi who come to worship the Christ child. Matthew depicts them as strangers, visitors from the East, who risked a long and perilous journey to come to the Christ child. We read that seeing the star, the Magi were wildly happy. Why? Why were they happy? Some biblical scholars think that these Magi, that's what Matthew calls them, not kings or wise men, these Magi, these astronomers or astrologers, who are constantly looking at the stars to read what they portend, why should they be filled with a really big joy, as Matthew puts it? Why? When they arrive in the house, or the place where Mary and the child is, they open their treasures and they worshiped the Christ child, the one born King of the Jews. Again, how did they know, just from looking at a star, that this baby was to be king, much less King of the Jews? Again, this is Matthew's telling the story, not Luke, that we've been reading the last 12 days. There's no manger birth. There's no angels singing into heaven, no shepherds arriving. And again, these Magi aren't even Jews. They're Gentiles from a distant land. Do they have access to Israel's scriptures, the predictions that the Christ child would occur in Bethlehem? Where did they get this really big joy? Maybe in part, they were joyful because they were on a journey. They were on a search. They were joyful because in beholding the Christ child, they knew that they had finally arrived at their long-awaited destination. I assume most of their fellow Magi stayed home and were sensible, took no journeys to the West, refused to go off on some wild goose chase to see a baby on nothing more than the possibility of a star. But those that did show up, we don't know whether there were two or three or 300 of them. Matthew only says that there were multiple and they brought three gifts. Of course, that raises the old joke, if it's men, there had clearly been more than three if they only brought three gifts, right? Somebody probably brought nothing. But whatever the case is, they were looking for something, willing to risk a journey. They were brave enough to venture forth. And when they got to their final destination, we read, they felt a really big joy. I know lots of people who would rather get a root canal than go on a journey. My grandma Myrtle was married to Grandpa for many, many years. And other than being in the hospital, she only slept outside of her bed twice. She loved home and its comforts. I think we all do, love being in control of our surroundings. That's one thing that makes any journey difficult. It places us, in some sense, in the mercy of the trip. Every trip is a risk, right? We risk not arriving on time, we risk getting lost, we risk getting sick, and ultimately we risk simply never returning home, which will be true for all of us one day. Every baby is also a risk, though. The birth of Jesus set a whole train of difficult, bloody events into motion. The Magi would soon discover that this Christ child would not be the end of the journey, but rather the beginning, as Christ always is for those who encounter him, for those who follow. For we just don't simply believe or struggle to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We are invited to follow, to get up and move, to go on a journey, to go on a trip. Christ takes us to places that we would not have gone ourselves without him leading. Like the Magi who saw the star rising and they got up and moved. We're like them in some way, those stargazers and travelers. See a light on the horizon. We follow where it leads. down an unfamiliar path, perhaps, guided by a light, one Matthew introduces as King of the Jews. Matthew introduces us to another character, another king, in this Epiphany story, Herod. There, in the house under the shining star, is the Christ child, King of the Jews. But 9 miles away, up the road, backed up by his soldiers, is Herod, the fake King of the Jews. Herod's put in power by the Romans. When Herod had heard about the star that had risen, the one-born King of the Jews, he got nervous. It struck him with fear. And history shows that when Herod gets nervous, somebody is going to be in great pain. First, of course, he tries to give the Magi, to give him exact directions to where the Christ child is. But when the Magi evade him, when they take a different path and a different road home, then Herod orders the slaughter, killing every baby born in and around Bethlehem under 2 years old. Herod, of course, is one of history's great villains. He not only murdered some of his good friends, but even his wife and 3 of his sons. He felt like he was threatened by everybody. And the old joke was in Herod's day that it was better to be his sow than to be his son, for the pig in the royal barnyard had a better chance of survival than his own children. But Matthew goes on and says even more. He says it was not only Herod who got nervous hearing the news of the Christ child, but all Jerusalem with him. All of Jerusalem trembles. No doubt because Jerusalem knows how bloody Herod could be when he got a little nervous. And in fact, he himself can't pull off such a massacre without somebody else's help. We got quite a story here then. The Magi in their huge joy, Herod and all of Jerusalem filled with murderous fear. The whole story is just sort of dripping with intense emotion. The star stops at the place where the child was, we read. And these visitors are overwhelmed. And they behold Mary and the infant Christ. They bring 3 gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They're a little unusual gifts to bring to a baby shower. Not inappropriate gifts, particularly as one person at 8 o'clock mentioned to me, I wish somebody had brought me gold at my baby shower, but it's a different issue. But they're still unusual gifts. They would, of course, been really appropriate gifts to bring to a funeral. The gold for funeral expenses and frankincense and myrrh are used in that day to prepare the body for burial. We know over the last 12 days, hearing the Christmas story again, that this is no ordinary king. He receives no ordinary visitors, and it's perhaps no surprise that he receives no ordinary gifts. It's a great story. It is in some way a story where God tells us to come forward, to come and see, come and behold the Christ child. Amidst the fear, the anxiety of the world, come forward. God invites us like the Magi to come and see, to travel the desert of this world, to travel the desert of your heart, to bring our gifts, to bring our lives, to behold the Christ child. And like the Magi, we are invited to come forth in adoration, come forth in worship. That's why we've come to this place, this day, now. We have come to give thanks to God, trusting in what God will do and has done and will continue to do for us, trusting in the promises that God has made with us, trusting that as our lives unfold in strange and mysterious ways on whatever journey you are on, that God's promises for us will ultimately be fulfilled, that God will come again in the flesh, that Christ will overcome all, and that neither life nor death shall ever be able to separate us from the one who comes to us. And like the Magi, we bring gifts. before this king. We offer ourselves, our time and our possessions, our gold, our frankincense and myrrh. We bring before this king what we have, both things revealed and things hidden in our hearts, trusting that God in Christ will make use of whatever gifts we bring, transforming us and the gifts to a new creation, to making us more than we are at present. But no doubt, sometimes, for some of us, we come to this king with ourselves a bit of fear and anxiety and nervousness. Again, Herod has other fish to fry when he encounters these magi, asking them where they go. It's difficult for foreigners to be present in Bethlehem, to proclaim a new king when there's a king on the throne. Yet the magi still come. They still go. Forward they come with their gifts, regardless of the risk, and they behold wonderful news. So we too come to the king who has come to us. We read in the story, the scribes and the Pharisees know, the king will be born in Bethlehem, but they don't get up and move. They know the way, but they don't go. But we know the way. We know where to go. Let us go. Let us trust in the Lord to willingly go where he has led the way, to follow the journey in the path that he leads us on, now and always. Amen.